Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. You want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. And Steve Jordahl joins Ed Vitagliano and yours truly, Tim Wildman, this half hour. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Happy to do it.
What do you got, Steve?
Well, shall we go to other things than elections? Because I know we've been talking this to death, and we will be talking elections right for the days to come.
So and we'll be here tomorrow evening.
Yes.
Our news team and Ed, I'm going to be here. Walker's going to be here. We're going to be here tomorrow.
Chris Woodward and I will be in the news studio doing
Fred.
Update. Fred's going to be here.
Yeah. He'll be in here.
We'll be here. We're starting at 7 o'clock Central.
7 o'clock Central time.
And we'll be doing newscasts at the top of the hour and helping out however we can.
And so the rest of us will be discussing as news
results
occurs and discussing the importance of it.
We'll have a long day.
We'll have guests also on the phone. Yes.
All right. Go ahead, Steve.
The Supreme Court on Friday decided it was going to take up the case of what's known as the Bladenburg Cross. This is a memorial cross that is sitting in Maryland. It's a World War I memorial, and it is in, not surprisingly, the shape of a cross. It was put up years and decades ago to honor the people of the citizens of the World War I generation that gave the ultimate sacrifice for their country. And the American Humanist Association, for a while now, has wanted it off of state property because, well, it's a cross, and, well, it's on state property, and we just can't have that. On Friday, the Supreme Court said it was going to take the case, which means it's another religious freedom case that is up for debate.
Well, this kind of thing, I hope, since we've now got what we think is a solid 5-4 majority, conservative constitutional majority on the Supreme Court, I hope they'll put an end to this foolishness, you know, because it's ridiculous. Of course, I don't put anything past those on the left and the atheist bunch. They hate God. They hate Christianity. If they had their way, they would remove every visible sign of Christianity from the public sphere. But I hope the Supreme Court will just put an end to it and say that is not an establishment of a religious, it's not established violating the establishment of religion clause. So I hope the Supreme Court will rule properly on this.
Interestingly enough, in the past, before with the old Supreme Court, before all the Trump nominees got there, they kind of tended to rule split on this issue. And conflicting rulings. Do you remember the ruling on the Ten Commandments in schools? As long as it was with a raft of other historical displays, it could be displayed in its historic context. But if it was there and they decided it was to promote religion, then it couldn't be up there, is what they used to what the president right now says. It's interesting. Always kind of bothered me that it's okay to have a religious symbol up there as long as it doesn't mean anything religious, which bothered me.
It bothers us as Christians,
as Christians.
To act as if the Ten Commandments is only a historical symbol.
So the Supreme Court has a decision in front of it, gentlemen. It can decide broadly and say this applies to every religious symbol in public squares. This is a new reading or a now current reading of the First Amendment, freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Or it could rule narrowly and not want to jump into the middle of all of it and say this is only for crosses on public platforms. Although there are more than one. This is not the only one. So it's a good case to bring before the United States Supreme Court.
All right. We'll see what happens. I know that many military cemeteries have crosses all over the place. Go to Arlington Cemetery, for example. thousands of crosses. So, of course, those are private burial sites, but they're on, you know.
Like Arlington Cemetery is public, though, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that anybody's arguing that an individual soldier who holds to an individual religion can have a religious symbol on his...
They will soon.
Well, one of the things that they're arguing in this case is that this cross is an exact replica, although, you know, 20 feet tall, of the crosses that are currently in that same cemetery that reside on World War I soldiers. It's interesting how different wars have different markers. You remember the World War II and at the D-Day invasion and everything and all the soldiers that died from World War II, they have the round tombstones in white marble with their cross at the top of it etched into the stone and then their name and their unit and their date. World War I had crosses or Stars of David, depending on what their faith was. So
all right. Interesting. We'll see what happens.
Dateline Pakistan, just had his name. Oh, here, Ashiq Mashi, for losing that.
Start over.
Ashiq Mashi is Asiya Bibi's husband in Pakistan. Asiya Bibi is the Christian who was just released or gotten off of death row. The death sentence was uplifted after she allegedly defiled or blasphemed the Prophet Muhammad in Pakistan. The court says she's not guilty, but she can't get out of Pakistan because she's being held in the jail for her own safety. Her husband is appealing to Donald Trump and British Prime Minister Theresa May to help get the family out of Pakistan. There continue to be riots in the streets and death threats. The lawyer for this couple has already fled the country. She would be in grave danger if she were ever to be allowed out in public. There's no difference, except for the fact that you're not going to be killed, but there's really no difference as far as your freedom if you're held in prison for your own protection or for punishment. So we need to continue to pray for Ms. Bibi and her family over there.
Yeah, we rejoiced last week because it looked like she was going to be set free, and she with her husband and children were going to be able to leave the country. Where she is obviously hated and despised by a large portion of the Muslim population in Pakistan. That is just a terrible country to live in if you're a Christian. I mean, because the way this happened, for those who don't know this, back in 2009, it was something to do with getting a number of women getting water from a well, and she, I think, offered a drink to some Muslim women. And they said, no, the water's now, unclean because you're a Christian and you need to convert to Islam. And she wouldn't. So in the conversation that ensued, she apparently said, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah and I don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad. Ah, blasphemy.
Yeah.
And that's where that's the situation they're in. In any kind of public setting, a Muslim can say, you need to convert to Islam, and what do you think about the Prophet Islam? And if you say, well, I don't believe he's a prophet of God, you've blasphemed, and you can be executed.
I know. There's real torture and real martyrdom going around on in the globe for the name of Christ. Something that we hope we never get to in this country. But
next story.
Do you guys remember the alliance between many in the Democrat Party and Louis Farrakhan? Not an alliance exactly, but certainly palling around, being seen with.
He was front and center at the Aretha Franklin funeral.
He was.
Right.
On the platform with both.
I don't think some Democrats do, but not all Democrats have a problem with him.
They didn't at this. There was a U.S. representative, I think, that was up there. But so was the Reverend
Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton.
And Al Sharpton were both.
And Bill Clinton were up there.
That's who it was.
They wanted. They made the decision to appear on stage with Louis, their termites, Farrakhan.
Well, Louis, their termites, Farrakhan was in Iran.
Well, you need to explain to our listeners why that's so insulting to Jews. He was talking about Jews. And that is what the Nazis called Jews,
right?
In the Farrakhan lead up to World War II, that they were termites.
But Farrakhan called Jews termites just a couple of weeks ago publicly.
Right.
And he's embraced by the Democratic Party, many of them, as I just referenced, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Bill Clinton. They don't mind appearing on stage.
Keith Ellison.
They don't mind appearing on stage
the
with him.
The entire Congressional Black Congress at one point.
Caucus, yeah.
Caucus. Colin Kaepernick, Nike's choice as a spokesperson, you know, not too long ago, wore a, I don't know when it was exactly, wore a T-shirt honoring Louis Farrakhan.
Colin Kaepernick did?
Yeah. I read that somewhere, and I'll get documentation. I'll document that somewhere. But and Castro, he wore a T-shirt of Castro. Kaepernick is a fan of Castro.
Yeah.
And also, I think of Farrakhan's. I know Farrakhan embraces Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But I think the feeling is mutual. But your point is.
I will tell you. The point is that he was in Iran over the weekend.
Who was? Colin Kaepernick?
No, Louis Farrakhan was in Iran over the weekend, and he was addressing a meeting with the Secretary of Iran's Expediency Council, and he announced that America was conspiring against Iran, and this is his quote: "I understand how the enemies have plotted against the Iranian people, and I would like to stay alongside of you to stop their plots," said the American Louis Farrakhan. "Satan seeks to divide Muslims and wants them to kill each other, while God tells us in the Quran to be united. Today, I warn the American government that sanctioning Iran is a big mistake." And at the end of the talk, according to this outlet, he started the slogan, "Death to America."
And then they all started chanting.
And they just started joining in Arabic. Farsi, probably is what it was.
So Democrats have a decision to make, those who are buddy-buddy with Louis Farrakhan, whether they will publicly come out and distance themselves and criticize Louis Farrakhan and say, we are in complete disagreement, we'll have nothing to do with someone who is so hateful towards the people of Israel and America, and I look forward to that day.
Don't hold your breath.
Democrats do that.
The Women's March. Women's March.
But why would Farrakhan be in agreement with Kaepernick's worldview, you think?
Well, Louis Farrakhan
hates
white
people. In support, yes, and he's spoken out in support of Kaepernick.
Yes.
I don't know what you might be right that Kaepernick has returned the favor. I'm not sure.
I've not found that, but lots of articles talking about Farrakhan coming out publicly in support of Colin Kaepernick.
This is his statement. He says, "To my brother and companion in struggle, Colin Kaepernick, I am deeply grateful to Almighty God, Allah, for the courageous stand you have taken." So he's certainly praised him
now,
about that.
Colin Kaepernick is supposed to be a Christian, isn't he?
At one time he was.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be a Christian.
He's raised in a Christian
Everybody's
home.
Supposed
I think,
to be a Christian.
I think he's raised in a Christian home.
Okay.
But why do you say that?
Well, I wonder, you know, if he is friends with Farrakhan and, you know, you have Farrakhan saying, "I support you, Colin Kaepernick," and, you know, Allah, that kind of link. I would think a Christian would go, "Well, I mean, I appreciate the support, but we have different religious views." So I was just wondering. I had heard that Kaepernick had a Muslim girlfriend. So I just was wondering if he had converted or if he was still, I think he had claimed to be a Christian at one point, like you said.
By the way,
just an aside to that story, and we don't want to go down that road too much longer again, talking about the Colin Kaepernick story. I was writing an article on this, and when Nike came out and decided he would be their spokesperson, do you know he was offered a contract by the Denver Broncos? After he had been a part of, you know, taking a knee during the national anthem.
No.
And because his claim has been that, well, he's got a lawsuit against the NFL.
Right, that he was shut out because of that.
Why isn't he playing in Denver?
He refused. He did not want the contract that Denver offered him.
Well, it is the Broncos, to be fair.
What does that mean? Says the Oakland Raiders fan.
Yes.
My point is, he was offered a job in the NFL and he declined it. I don't know what he would have been paid exactly, but He was not blackballed like that. And yeah. I'm sure a lot of teams said, we don't want that kind of trouble brought to our locker room.
Right.
And who could blame them, right?
Or that controversy amongst our fan base.
To our team. Who would blame them for that?
Right.
Okay. But Denver was willing to take him. I guess they were out of quarterbacks there at that time.
But, well, I think he's probably wanting big money, too, because that's what he was
making. I just wondered, but Louis Farrakhan is over in Iran. Cheering on the Iranians? Would that be fair?
Yeah, and chanting death to America.
That's fair. That's what's being reported. Yep.
Okay, next story.
Life Defending Freedom has filed a lawsuit on behalf of a professor at Shawnee State University. And what this school is asking this professor to do, the story goes, he was in a class. It was a political philosophy class, which the teacher, whose name is Dr. Nicholas Merriweather. And Dr. Merriweather has a habit of calling on his students and saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, Mr. So-and-so, yes, Mrs. So-and-so, to promote a atmosphere of respect in his classroom. After class, he was approached by a man who said he's transgender and demanded that he be called by the woman's name, or she or miss. And he did not instantly agree during this conversation. The student became belligerent, circling around Merriweather and getting in his face, according to ADF, threatening him, telling him, then I guess this means I can call you. And then he said a profane, filthy word. Before walking away, the student promised to get Merriweather fired if he did not agree. The student filed a complaint with Shawnee State. And the university said, yeah, he's right. You have to call this man by a woman's name because otherwise it is you're creating a hostile environment for the student. So Alliance Defending Freedom is taking Shawnee State, which I believe is in Kansas, to task. They're taking him to court, in fact.
Is this a professor with tenure? Does the story say?
The story does that I've at least Alliance Defending Freedom is not saying.
I stand corrected my earlier statement. It's Malcolm X and Fidel Castro that Colin Kaepernick is a fan of.
Yes,
Malcolm.
Not Louis Farrakhan. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he is or not. But right. I said that he wore a T-shirt honoring. What I want to make clear is that Colin Kaepernick wore a T-shirt honoring Fidel Castro and Malcolm X.
Okay.
And maybe Che Guevara.
Right.
I'm not mistaken.
Anyway.
So.
There you go.
Thank you for clearing that up.
So Shawnee State is going to be in court.
They're going to be in court.
Because they told this professor that he has to abide by the new transgender rules. Whenever a person says, you got to call me this, you got to call me that, they have to fold.
That's right. Now, Shawnee State can avoid court if they settle out of court, obviously, with ADF and with this professor. But at this point, all sides indicate that they are probably going to be going to court. An interesting case because it not only does it require the professor, the school policy require the professor to denounce or say something against his sincerely held religious beliefs, it makes him say something against facts, against science, which is just odd to me.
It is odd to me as well.
There you go.
But that is where the left wants to take most Americans.
All right. Two more stories from college campuses. The Louisville, University of Louisville, Kentucky. A woman by the name of Mordine Taylor Archer. She's vice provost for diversity and international affairs at the University of Louisville. She sent out an email on October 31st to the student body saying that, quote, we must speak against policies that seek to repress, exclude, and deny the rights of others. This would include a proposed policy that would define gender at birth, acts that separate immigrants from children, and then the host of other President Trump policies. She sent this email out to the whole student body right ahead of the vote. Some people are saying, oh, wait a minute, that's not fair.
Who's saying that?
Well, strangely, the ACLU, I think, of that was the other story. Conservative students are saying that.
That's strange?
That it is a a state school encouraging students to vote Democrat?
That's right. That's what, yes.
You know, the only way these schools will be, have to feel the consequences of that kind of specific favoritism to one party is with, for their alumni, which my guess would be mostly Republicans, because, you know, would be to stop giving money or speak up and say,
yeah.
What she did was, she's the provost?
She is the vice provost.
Okay, and she sends out an email to the whole, her, she's taking advantage of her whole mailing list that's given to her by the university, mm-hmm. a public university, as Ed said, and then what does she say?
We must speak against policies that would define gender at birth, separate immigrants from children from their parents, send the military to stop immigrants who've traveled thousands
the
of
whole,
miles.
Excuse me for interrupting you, Steve. Frustration level rose.
Good. That's what we're about here.
Is the whole university system in this country from top to bottom controlled by secular progressives?
Yes.
For the most part,
just completely one-sided?
Yeah.
95-5, something like that?
Yeah.
What did you say? That's amazing.
And now, not in
they
every
really,
department, but
to
in,
their credit,
in all the
they just took it over, didn't they?
Yes.
I'm crediting something that's terrible, but I mean, I'm just saying they really must have worked hard to take over the whole system.
Early on in the 60s, the left decided that was going to be schools and universities.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. They were going to do that. While Americans were electing Barry Goldwater and Richard Nixon, they were going down ballot, down ballot.
It's a wonder any Republican gets elected at all with the Democrats controlling the whole university system in this country. And so your conservative kids are subjected to liberal, progressive thought day in, day out from all their professors.
They get brainwashed.
Huh?
They're getting brainwashed.
Yeah.
On college and university campuses. Now, obviously not, you know, your math classes and science classes.
And that may not come up there.
It probably doesn't come up. But all your humanities classes are 90-95% Democrats. I mean, this is in terms of who they
give. And hardcore.
And they're hardcore. This is who they give to. This is how they vote. And you get these kinds of, you know, these kinds of very one-sided, you know, presentations of the truth.
Why do you think that is? How do you think it's so one-sided?
Well, I just think, as you said, I just think they determined to go into education.
Right.
And they rose, as they aged, they rose to places of prominence. And
the university only hires people who think like them.
Well, because the ones who are doing the hiring are the people who have already decided this is the way we're going to teach the kids.
So college and university life is supposed to be exposing you to different various ideas.
Not anymore.
But in fact, these people only hire people who think like them.
Yes.
So it's contradictory to their own mission statement.
Yeah, but it's easy to dispense with that
we don't want to hire Nazis.
You don't want to hire Nazis.
Yeah.
that's the way they probably view it.
Right.
So they do. It's an ideological campaign.
So they're all completely one-sided.
Yep.
But that's an abuse of the. To me, that's an abuse of her power to use the emails from the university to advocate for one particular party.
If
you want to say go vote, that's fine.
Yeah.
Or research your candidates for you. But to say go vote, but to say things like enforcing our immigration laws is whatever, what you say. All right. So you got me talking French now, Ed. We shall see you back here tomorrow, folks. Keep listening to American Family
Radio. Go vote.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
See you back here tomorrow, everybody.